Before the Stonewall riots, before America's first gay pride parade, Middle Tennessee's LGBT community was very quiet, but it was there.
There was the fear of discovery, fear of the police.
Is there a church I'd go to and be myself?
I wanted to be just what I was.
For the past 7 years, Nashville's Brooks Fund has collected the stories of what it was to be homosexual in Middle Tennessee before 1970. As WPLN's Nina Cardona reports, they tell of largely hidden but vibrant lives.
Growing up in Old Hickory after World War II, Linda Compton doesn't remember hearing the words homosexual or lesbian, not even any gay slurs. She didn't really know what it meant when she found herself drawn to pretty teachers. But her sixth grade self felt it was wrong when a teenager was forced to ask her church's entire congregation for forgiveness.
I kept saying, "What did he do? What did he do?" And my dad said, "Oh, he was just one of those sweet boys. He was not dating girls."
A few years later, at the Church of Christ College, David Lipscomb, Compton was so scared of the lesbians rumored to live in her dorm that she hid a butter knife under her pillow for protection. Then she fell in love with a girl.
That's when I decided, hey, I think I know what those gay people do, you know, and let's throw the knives away.
If they'd been caught, Compton says she and her girlfriend would have been expelled and outed to their home churches. So they got boyfriends and went on double dates. The relationship didn't last. Both ended up married to men, but not happily. Compton divorced after 5 years. Nashvillian Jerry Mitchum dated a girl all through high school and college. But after his dates, he would always head downtown.
There were movie theaters and parks where I could go to find relief with men that were almost always older.
Eventually, Mitchum told his girlfriend he was homosexual.
She was ready to marry me no matter what. But I knew from my previous encounters with married men, there was no happiness there.
Mitchum settled down a few years later with the man who would be his life partner. Al was older, a military officer who served 26 years without being found out as gay. Ted Binkley was never good at hiding his sexuality. The Wilson County native was kicked out of high school for fooling around with another boy. Before long, he was leaving home for days or weeks at a time.
I was staying at the Maxwell House Hotel with these three hookers.
Teenagers, like himself.
They would take me out and introduce me to guys. Was not aware that they were taking money for it.
What he did recognize at the time was the protection he got when the police patrolled, looking for signs of gay activity.
Especially the parachute club, they would always put me in a safe place where the police couldn't find me.
The parachute, Juanita's, the jungle. For many, Nashville's gay clubs became the epicenter of a covert scene where people could go after long days keeping their guard up in the office or classroom. Linda Compton's favorite was the Watch Your Coat and Hat Saloon.
I never felt freer than I did when I walked into that place. And it felt so darn good to know that I wasn't by myself. They even had a drag show, and I thought that was a hoot.
We did a Ray Stevens song, Guitar Zan. I played Jane with wig blocks for tits and grass skirt, just anything I could find back. We got 6 callbacks, and that's a rush.
Jerry Montgomery performed in drag shows at the Watch Your Coat and Hat from their start in the late 60s on into the 70s. They were liberating for the audiences as well as the men who performed in them. But perhaps the most transformative drag experience happened in the 1950s in rural Trousdale County.
No one ever called me queer, but I was considered the county's artist.
Alicia Brevard, who was then known as Buddy, was tormented at school for being an effeminate boy. But when it came time for a so-called womanless wedding, a kind of small-town entertainment in which men dressed as women for laughs, Buddy was encouraged to sing in heels and a gown.
The superintendent of schools was seated on the aisle, and he had a bald head that was just shining and calling for me to implant it with his big red lipstick print. So I kissed him on the top of his head, and of course it got a great response. I felt like a canary let out of a cage, and I felt like singing.
Just a few years later, Brevard was in the cast of a glamorous San Francisco drag revue and taking hormones to prepare for one of the nation's first gender reassignment surgeries. Alicia Brevard now identifies herself as a heterosexual woman. The Brooks Fund is continuing to collect the experiences of the Mid-States LGBT community. In addition to being archived in the Nashville Library, the first 25 are part of a documentary that will be released soon. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Nina Cardona.